Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Most of you know that if you've been here for the last few weeks, this, in case you didn't, today will be the fourth message in a series of messages I've been doing on Sunday mornings. We began showing how Satan, our enemy, works to destroy the next generation, but how we as the church are to fight for it and to equip it with the truth. What we've done in each of the prior messages, the three messages, we'll do the same today. At the end of each, we've looked at what we call action steps to both protect us against the deception that Jesus warned us about in the last days, and actually had to build a wall of protection around us and our families. How many know that would be pretty important? And so I've been sharing how that God's word reveals the satanic attack, not just against the next generation, but really against all humanity. A secret, covert, evil plan the devil has been methodically and tediously executing right under people's noses without them even realizing it, which purpose is to lead a unsuspecting world away from the law of God and to becoming a Christ-rejecting society who threw off all moral restraints. One which to work to modify and reorient and to prepare the world for the, as the scripture calls, the coming man of sin or lawlessness or the son of perdition, known as the Antichrist revealed in the book of Revelation. So I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, this current world that you and I are living in didn't accidentally arrive at its present state. It's a long-awaited plan unfolding before us. You know, some may say, well, you know, Pastor Chris, why would you even talk about this? Well, number one, Jesus, all the apostles did, but some people would say, you know, why would you even talk about this or care about these things if you believe in the rapture? Because the church won't even be here when the Antichrist is revealed and when the tribulation period begins. That is true, but here's why we talk about these things. Because it's not just enough that you and I are ready for Christ coming, but that others are ready. And we each are called to make a difference in the nasty now and now. Remember, every soul, that you and I meet is an eternal being who will spend eternity either in heaven and or in hell. And the scriptures tell us today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Amen. Oh, the time that we are to make a difference. So in other words, there's another urgency that's going on in the earth today, and that is an urgency of eternity. I'm not giving these messages, I hope you understand, to entertain us, but to awaken us, to the time that we're living in, the very last of the last days that the scriptures repeatedly describe and actually warn of. Jesus gave us numerous signs that will precede his return for the same reason, to awaken, to ready, and to prepare those who will listen and pay attention. What many people don't realize, you know, when we talk about the signs of the time, many times people say things like this. You know, signs have been around for a long time. But let me tell you something about the signs of the last days that Jesus told us about. What many of us don't realize is that we are the first generation to see all the convergence of these signs spoken of in the scriptures. The regathering of Israel, the stirring of the nations against Jerusalem, the shaking of nature, the exponential increase of knowledge, the rise of lawlessness, the global technology that now can fulfill actually the words of Revelation chapter 13. These pieces are not scattered anymore. They are in place. The stage is set, the actors are in place, and the curtain is about to rise. And there is no time to waste, church. The truth is that we must look at everything through the lens of the scripture and what God has to say about it, since God knows the end from the beginning, so that we're not deceived along with the world. Now hang on for the next few moments, because today's message, if you're taking notes, we're going to be talking about the satanic agenda of transhumanism. Today we're going to be taking a look at what Jesus meant in Matthew 24 verse 37 when he said, "But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the man be." I want us to look there. "But as in the days of Noah were," he said. So we must understand that what Jesus meant about that. Now listen, what if I told you that Jesus said that Noah's day actually serves as a template or a pattern showing what the world would be like right before Christ's return? Actually, Ecclesiastes 1:9 says it like this. Listen, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done, it's which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." This verse gives us great insight into this as well. As history, it serves as a pattern of the future. No wonder that the world wants to change history, or to cover it up, or you not to know it, because it serves as a pattern of which many times will happen again prophetically. And Jesus didn't tell us this in other ways. And didn't Jesus tell us this in other ways, as I explained last week? Write this down. And in Mark chapter 12, verses 43 through 45, when he warned that anyone or any person or any nation that decides to reject God would usher in ancient spirits again that would seek to destroy mankind. Well, he did. We read that in closing last week, along with some other things. And I certainly believe it does, because Jesus said it. Now, I know the things I've just talked about may not be good news, bad news. Let me give you some good news before we get back to the bad news. Because the good news always trumps the bad news. Okay? And so there's a reason why I'm sharing this. The main reason is so that you'll not be afraid, but you'll have faith in God. Since God knows the end from the beginning, that's what gives us great confidence in Him. I got some good news. I've read the end of the book, praise God. And the reason I believe, and that's the reason I actually believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And you should too. Listen, God's word clearly tells us that in the midst of great deception and great destruction, listen, neither Satan nor man nor nuclear war will destroy mankind. God will have the final word, and he told us already what it is, so that we will be right with him and live in faith in God and not fear of what's coming upon the earth. The scripture warns us in Luke 21 that men's heart failing for fear of what's coming upon the face of the earth. Well, if we did not know what was coming, then it's a possibility for us to have fear. The reason why we should be warned about it is so that we know what is coming, so we don't fear. We have faith and know that Jesus Christ is going to take care of us. He's already told us what to come, so there's no need to fear, but we don't need to be deceived either. So last week, here's what we did. We looked at how Jesus told us that Noah's day and Lot's day were actually a template or a pattern that will replay in the last days again, right before Christ's second coming. Both were marked by the sin or transgression. Everybody say transgression. Both days were marked by the sin or transgression of sexual perversion. And this is why I said last week that we could say we have entered into a time of transgression or enter into a time of transits. And what do you mean by a time of trans? I'm saying this because it's short for transgression. The transgression or the transits of today will mirror the days of Noah and Lot. And the trans movement that has happened today, that is being pushed and wildly promoted, trending, and becoming vastly normalized and accepted by society as a whole, is what's confronting us on many sides. So church, I'm reminding us that in the midst of what I'm talking about today, that you and I are called to love and reach the sinner, but never the sin. We're to love the sinner. We should love them enough to warn them, tell them the truth, to reach them with the gospel, because it is the power of God, as we'll hear again in a few moments, unto salvation. Amen. So we must reach them, but we must never confuse loving the sinner with loving the sin, because the sin will destroy. And warning someone, we got to get this straight, church. Warning someone of the dangers of sin is not hate, but love. It is never, don't fall for the lies of the world that say that's hate speech and everything. Well, then Jesus was a hater. That's why they hate him. But he wasn't a hater, he was a lover. He warned society. He said things like this: neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So we must understand that that warning people of the danger of sin is never hate but love, because all sin ultimately kills and leads to death. It's both deceiving and hardening as well, and why it's so dangerous and it entraps many souls. Write this down. Jesus warned of it in John 7:7 when he says it will... those that you warn many times, people that hear this type of thing will hate you because you testify that its works are evil. But it doesn't mean that you hate them by warning them. Matter of fact, what they accuse you of is what they're guilty of. They are the real haters, and Jesus warned us about that. They will hate us for telling them the truth, and you see that all around. Amen. Today's trans movements we talked about last week included transvestites, transsexuals, and transgenders. And as dangerous as each of these are, they're only leading souls to the acceptance of even a greater deception and trans, a greater movement called transhumanism. Once again, we found out these things aren't new at all, but the return of actually ancient spirits to influence, deceive, and to control a confused and a Christ-rejecting world and society. Today's trans movement is just being today. It's not new. It's just being repackaged as self-expression and even love, and sold through the propaganda of mainstream media and to an unsuspecting world where the youth especially are targeted at a very young age. They become brainwashed, hypnotized, desensitized, and reoriented in beliefs by the onslaught of what's actually set before them. Movies and toys like Transformers are seen as fun and innocent until you understand the real spirits that are behind them. The movie Terminator was thought to be only a sci-fi thriller when it actually was part of predictive programming of a society and actually prophetic insight into the dark world Satan would lead the unexpected into. I'm telling you today, church, wake up. Wake up, church. This is not science fiction. This is science reality. What we are witnessing is actually the reorientation of humanity. We are being prepared for something dark and something evil. It's progression, and it will end in transhumanism that we're talking about today. I just said what we are seeing is happening, a reorientation of humanity. That's the attempt of Satan. Let's define the word reorientation. Redirecting or changing the direction of something towards a particular goal or object. In this case, humanity. Something is happening that is redirecting or changing the direction of something towards a particular goal and objective. The particular goal and objective is transhumanism and actually destroying or changing the human race. And it is the ones that are being redirected or changed in that direction is humanity. All of this is fulfilling a satanic agenda, a well-organized, and we've explained prior, a hidden plan called the mystery of iniquity that will lead humanity, as Jesus said, listen, as Jesus said, back to the days of Noah. And while the world would cry conspiracy theory about transhumanism's goal, it's not a theory, but present reality. Although both Noah and Lot's day were marked by the sin or the transgression of sexual perversion, only Noah's day had a transgression so great that it caused, think about it, that it caused God to destroy the whole world at the time of the flood. This unthinkable sin is told in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. I want us to turn there for a moment. We're going to turn there, and I'm going to read this, and I'm not going to do an exposition of this, but I'm going to give us an overview to understand. Jesus once again said, if you want to know what the earth is going to look like and what's going to be coming on against humanity right before my second coming, he says, it's going to mirror the days of Noah. In other words, it's going to be a prototype. It's going to be a pattern of what will be. If you look back at the days of Noah and know what happened in the days of Noah and why God had to destroy the earth, he says it's going to be why I'm going to come back and have to handle this, because man will become so evil and the agenda motivated by Satan will be so bad once again, I have to intervene. We're getting close, church. This, I'm not saying this to scare us. I'm telling us to prepare. So Genesis chapter 6, what was so bad that happened? Verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Notice again, it is around sexual perversion, but it's a particular sexual perversion that was different than the day of Lot. Even though in the day of Lot, in Sodom and Gomorrah, God still got his people out before judgment fell, and God's gonna always get his people out before judgment falls. This is why another reason why you know the rapture will occur. Because he hasn't appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here, really briefly, it says there were giants in the earth in those days. You know, nobody wants you to know about that, but they were. And here's how they came. And also after that, when the sons of God, listen to me, every reference in the Old Testament of sons of God talk about angels. These are angels that originally were assigned to the care of man. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, really quick. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 tells us all angels were created to be ministering spirits sent forth to assist in the care of mankind or the heirs of salvation. God created angels that were to watch over mankind. And this is what they're talking about here. The sons of God, they were angels. But those angels left their original state. It says they came unto the daughters of men. In other words, some writings in antiquity say that they were enamored by the beauty of women. And those angels decided, like Satan, like Lucifer did, to rebel against God. I wonder who put that in their heart. To rebel against God, and actually they cohabited with the human race. And they produced a line of giants, a hybrid race. And the scripture calls them Nephilim. We see very clearly in the Old Testament where these giants, where they came from. This was wicked in the sight of God. We must understand that according to, and see, this is not an isolated case here. Let me give you, for time's sake, three other scriptures you can look up at home. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, Peter talked about the angels that left their original state and sinned against God. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says that they're bound in chains of judgment now. And in Jude, verse 6 and 7, talked about this very same thing. So we know this happened. What we have to understand is that the transgression, that transgression, in other words, angels cohabiting with women and creating a hybrid race. Now, why would Satan inspire that? You know why Satan would inspire that? To keep the true seed and the righteous line from coming into the earth through the Messiah, through the virgin birth. He had to corrupt the actual gene pool of mankind. Anything that's not in the original image that God created is unredeemable. Only humankind is redeemable, and God's promise in Genesis 3:15 was when Adam and Eve sinned that he would send a redeemer. It would be born of a virgin birth. In other words, the seed would come from God, but it would have to come from a woman. That's what it said, the seed of the woman. Well, the seed of the woman is talking about the virgin birth. And what Satan tried to do to stop the Messiah from coming in this earth is having a hybrid race where which it would eliminate the chance of the Messiah to come to save the world. It was all a plan to rid the earth of God's authority and actually the original human race so that the Messiah could not come. That transgression that we just read was the original attempt of Satan to corrupt and destroy the human race by creating a hybrid race, or what we would call transhumanism, or the original transhumanism. Its purpose, the contamination of the human gene pool, so the Messiah couldn't come. In other words, we understand that the Redeemer that was come, Jesus Christ, was both God and man. This tells us of Satan's attempt to destroy humanity as God originally created it, through the modification and even destruction of our God-given DNA, and making mankind something other than beyond human, therefore unredeemable. Now you say, that's amazing, I've never seen that before. Well, it's right there in the scripture. It's mentioned several times. It's not for us to park there. It's us to be understanding what God has said. And more importantly, what Jesus said and warned about Noah's day. That right before he comes back again, the same thing that caused the flood to occur during Noah's day, and listen, it won't just any sin, it was that sin. He said the same thing is going to happen again. So there's going to be a satanic attempt to merger something with humanity and make it inhuman. Remember, this is how Jesus said we would know how close we are to his return. Once again, I'll say it again, like in Noah's day, there was not only a gross sexual perversion on a worldwide scale. This was a specific perversion that Satan will attempt again, both to alter and to destroy the human race. Christ came one time again. He's going to do anything he can to keep him from coming back. But having to know Jesus is coming back. I'm just letting us know what Jesus said about this. And therefore, what he's trying to do is rid the earth of God's authority. That is Satan's ultimate goal. And that's why he has to get rid of the church. This is why he hates you. Because you and I are made in the likeness and image of God. So let me show you how this has been planned and a few ways this is happening again. You say, well, that can't happen again. Well, not so fast. Jesus said it would. And I want to show you how it's happening again. But what you have to understand, church, is it's going to be so normalized so it can be digested and accepted. And be sold as, here's what it's going to be sold as, is the next great breakthrough in technology for humanity. Because it will merge you. If you paid attention during COVID, and that some of the things that were out, many of the world's elites, not your elected officials, even some of the elected officials, are talking about how biology will be merging with technology. This is transhumanism. You can call it a lot of different things, and you can sell it as, oh, helping humanity, great medical breakthroughs, and all this kind of stuff. But let me warn you, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So I'm showing us how Noah's day serves as a template or a pattern of what Satan will attempt to do again to mankind, to alter, to change, to transform what it means to be human. So let's define the word transhumanism, because it is a term that is being used by the global elites openly and blatantly. Now, here's the danger that you and I have. Many of us in the church, we're not even aware. You know, sometimes Pastor Deb and I, we go to another place and we look around and just say, boy, this is a wake-up call. This is so much different than Matthew's. So much different than that. You know what? You could come week in and week out to this four walls, and if that's as far as you go, you think everything's peachy keen. Especially if you don't turn on the news, which I don't suggest you do. In other words, to feed on. I mean, it's all right to keep up on things, but not to feed on it. You know, you just think, oh, this could never happen. Everything's peachy keen out there. Well, how many know everything ain't peachy keen? I can tell you everything is not peachy keen. And so transhumanism is the belief that the human race will evolve beyond its, everybody say evolve. Whew. So, you know, really Darwinism was a type of transhumanism. Oh boy. A human race is the belief that human race will evolve beyond its current physical and mental limitations through science and technology. Next, transhumanists believe in and push for a post-human society. Now, just in case you don't understand what post-human society means, it means a society that is left where we're at and we're no longer human. In other words, being human like God created us is an afterthought. In other words, there's a few of that, but we've evolved into something totally different. Transhumanism is the merger of man and machine, or you could say the merger of AI and machine. And it's not just about robots that interact with us, but will actually replace us. Look at this Time magazine, 2045, the year man becomes immortal. Things like brain chips, Neuralink, all of these, I warn you, are going to be sold as medical advancements and breakthroughs in diseases. They are just saying they can program things so that and can implant things in us that if we to change that genome, that if we have cancer, it can change that and kill that. But the problem with changing that genome that God give us, if they can program it one way, they can program it any way they want to. In other words, the same thing that may cure cancer, they say, will be in your body that through control, they can make it what it wants to be, control you. Be not fooled, church, by the things of biotechnology that's on the landscape. Breakthroughs, these breakthroughs will only serve to control us. Things like cyborgs or what they call, we have people here today that are in the military, and I know they're not blind to this, of the race for super soldiers, and how China has actually created, and they're manufactured super soldiers. They don't get tired, that are robotic and have superhuman strength and all these kind of things. Oh, it's going to be sold for the good of humanity. And there's a race, even in the United States, about that, because they feel like whoever has that cutting edge in AI will have the cutting edge on the whole world. That's the danger about this whole thing. Trans in itself. Everybody say trans. Trans in itself, do you know what it means? It means to make better, to improve, to make superior. In other words, it is man saying, by inspiration of Satan, man saying that man can do a better job than God did. We're cloning animals. And don't forget, we're cloning animals, we're cloning humans too. It is to be science's new creation. But I'm reminding us in here today that God created man. Man rejected God, and transhumanism is man's attempt to create immortality without God. It is actually the next evolution of man. Let that sink in for a moment. This is what's being demised behind us. Behind their back, church. Now, don't fear, because the Holy Ghost lives in us, not the devil. And greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. But we better know this, because there's a lost and dying world that are going headlong over the cliff after these things. Here's a great example. I don't take pleasure in it, but it's called the 2045 Avatar Initiative. You'll see a picture of a young man here, Dmitry Itzkov. He's a Russian billionaire that is financing this project. Let me tell you something. There's so many, these world elites are financing projects like this all over. There's an unlimited resource. You may not be able to read all of this, but notice in 2015 to 2020, a robotic copy of a human body remotely controlled via brain-computer interface. It's a robot. I mean, that is happening. That is happening. It's no doubt on that. Look at the next one. An avatar in which a human brain is transplanted at the end of one's life. 2030 to 35, an avatar with an artificial brain in which a human personality is transferred at the end of one's life. In other words, it's their attempt to play God and to create immortality. They'll never will do it. They say you can download our consciousness in the cloud, and then when you die, you can get a new brain that's downloaded back to that, and we can bring you back to life and let you live again. Man, oh man. The problem is you're not you. You are a spirit being. See, all of this forgets that you're more than biology, that you're more than a body and a mind. You are eternal spirit being. And the moment your spirit leaves your body, you're either in one or two places, either in heaven or hell, and has everything to do with your decision for Jesus Christ. These godless people are trying to play God and imitate God. Jesus said they would. So let's define, there's a lot of avatar initiative. Let's read define avatar so you won't be deceived by this. It is the incarnation. In case you didn't know, it means that something comes into the flesh. In this case, an incarnation of a powerful deity or spirit on the earth, including in human form. You want to know what avatars really are? They're demons possessing bodies. That's what this is. And I can tell you, demons are waiting to host bodies. Guess who's hosting your body? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. An incarnation of a powerful deity or spirit on earth, including in human form. Avatar, here is a concept within Hinduism, false religion, that literally seeks descent of a deity into human form. See, remember, like in the days of Noah, it says the gods came down, cohabited. The sons of God came down and cohabited, formed a new race. Same thing. Same thing. The attempt to repeat history. This is not natural, church, but spiritual. It's the same lie in the Garden of Eden. You will become gods, and God is holding out on you. Man's attempt to play God and obtain immortality, living forever, and it's all satanic in its origin, and Jesus warned us about it, and I am today. I know it's not the best news you ever heard, but I'd rather for you to be warned about it and stay away from it and help rescue the person and care for the dying than in one message you can hear and remember and don't fall for what the world is trying to do. This is why and how many in the world, the world elites, like the World Economic Forum, openly admit to create, and they are creating, a post-human society. Once again, that humanity as we have it is the exception and not the rule, because we're creating a hybrid race, a post-human society. This is why they say, what are we going to do with all the useless eaters? That's the way they call us. In other words, if we don't conform and go after the way the world is going, they called us useless eaters. And here's what they said. Well, I guess we'll just drug them and let them live their life around video games and virtual reality stuff. Here's the very things that they actually uttered. I could put the videos up and you can watch it. They say that there will be that free will is over. There'll be no more free will. You know why there's no more free will? There'll be no free will because something else will be inhabiting you. Something else will be controlling you, not God. They call us hackable and programmable animals. I didn't say that. They did. I could show you video after video of that. But for time's sake, you just take my word for it. What we are experiencing is a mass seduction for a human reorientation. Make no mistake about it, Satan not only wants to destroy the human race because it is made in the likeness and image of God, but he wants to recreate it, to transform it. Amen. He wants to transform it by actually inhabiting it and controlling it. Either or, just like in the days of old. And this is the reason Jesus said, but in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So this is what's coming in the world. Like in the days of Noah, people were eating, drinking. It says, marrying and giving in marriage. Why? In other words, what this is saying is, it was like business and life as usual. Not unaware, not taking the warning seriously. See, just like in the days of Noah, Noah for 100 years built that ark in the presence of those that are around him. Every time that hammer swung, it was a cry against life as usual, life as normal. They were headed. But what was happening all that time, that and stood the human race that was left was being merged in to that other, so that there was only eight left that God spared to bring and to procreate the world, to bring on the other side of the flood, to bring the Messiah in. Have you ever thought about that? Well, that's exactly why. Today, once again, church, I hope you understand that you're not just taking life as normal. You're not, it's all just about, eating, drinking, married and giving in marriage. Today, we're being warned again not to take it casually. Listen, church, and be sure of this. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. The gospel can withstand any level of deception. But that's not the question. The question is, will you and I withstand it? That's the question. Jesus warned us that in the last days, deception will be what's trending all across the world. But our answer is always the same, the gospel. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the same message. It may have a different sound today. During Noah's day, he warned them. He was a preacher of righteousness. But every time that hammer went, every day after day, they saw, they witnessed, and he proclaimed. And today, we must do the same thing because we're not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. As the church, we must understand the time we live in and that there is a present truth to deal with every deception and every lie. The truth and the answer and the power are always found the same place in God's Word. And we have that present truth to deal with everything that's coming upon the earth. Why do we shrink back when people say things and we're like, I don't know. We got the answer in the present truth to deal with everything that comes our way. And this is why each week we're looking at action steps we can take to protect us from the deception that is here and that is coming and build a wall of protection around us and our families. So, we've looked at action steps every week. Let's go through the first four that we've already looked at to begin with. Pray every morning. How many have made a decision that you're going to turn it up in prayer in your life? Good. I'm glad there's many hands. Number two, read the Bible every day. Now remember, this is for your good. You're not trying to earn brownie points with God. Reading the Word of God is helping you to renew your mind so that you're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Number three, quickly confess sin and receive the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, repentance is not a bad word. It is getting things right that you have done wrong. It's actually turning from what we've done wrong when we do it and turning to God and following Him. That's what repentance is about. This is why He said if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The moment that you have repented, turned from and turned to God, you're as right as you ever be. You'll be no more righteous when you get to heaven than you are right now. That should give us confidence and to know that the blood of Jesus, according to Revelation 12:11, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of a testimony. Now, number four, last week we looked at put on the whole armor of God. Remember, it says that we not fall against the wiles of the strategy of the enemy. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. The wiles of the enemies are the deceit, the deception, the schemes and the strategies that the evil one would put against us. And we learned how all of these are both defensive and offensive weapons that you and I need to learn to use to be able to stand and win the way we're supposed to in life. Now today, number five, here's where we're at. Make a covenant with your eyes. This takes us back to the first week about screens. Anybody remember Madison's testimony? How she died for 12 minutes? And she went to heaven and Jesus showed her and gave her a message to come back with. And how Satan has captivated a generation. And we focused on the young generations. That was her message to come back. That have screens and on phones and tablets and computers. And how they were being used. Their wrong use and influence was affecting a whole generation and taking them captive by Satan and away from God. What we must understand, technology in itself isn't bad. Even these things are good tools, but they're terrible masters. And that means that they must be controlled use and oversight of. So what we must do, if we're going to win, is we must make a covenant with the eyes. Let's look at these verses in Psalms 101, verse 3. Let's read this. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Not only will I not look at, gaze upon, and dwell on anything that's evil, that's perverse or sinful. I will not hang around those that do such. because that will end up getting on me as well. I'm not saying that you can't speak to them. I can't say that you can't avoid who you work with, but I'm saying you can't. You have to hate the work of them that turn aside. In other words, those that have made a decision to hate Jesus or not walk with him, you can be sure they'll be influenced by something other than the Holy Spirit. And you better be careful. And set no wicked thing before your eyes. Make a covenant before God with your eyes. Next verse, please, as we look at Lamentations 3:51. Oh, this is a great warning. My eye hath affected my heart because of all the daughters of my city. Don't ever think your eye doesn't affect your heart. What your eye sees, if it sees it long enough, it gets in your heart. You better watch it. And notice how it ties it back because of all the daughters of my city. You know, that's the same thing, you know, that the angels took a liken to the human beauty of a woman. Well, hey, all men have that same issue. And it's not just men. We just have to make sure that we understand that we're to treat, as a man, we're to treat the opposite sex as a sister. And the ladies, you treat them as your brother. You say, ick, well, good. That way you won't do something sinful. But don't make no mistake about it. God already warned us, my eye have affected my heart. And you cannot set your eyes on pornography and all the wrong things or even staring at people of the opposite sex and not think that that's not affecting you. Make a covenant with your eyes if you don't want to give the devil a place and let Jesus have lordship in your heart and life. I know this is a tough message. Amen. I know that, but you know what? It's true. Tide is right. You know, I think about it every Sunday. If this is my last message that you ever heard from me, I would want it not only to be what Jesus would want me to preach, but it would be truth, powerful, and I would have no regret. I warned you. I told you. I prepared you. I built you up. Praise the Lord. Next verse, please. Here it is. Matthew, Jesus' words again. It says, your eye is a lamp. It is like a lamp that provides light for your body. In other words, what you said before, there's either going to be light or darkness. And when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. Look at the right thing, and it'll be full of light. Now listen, this is what we're to do. This is step number, what was step, this is step number five today. We only got six, so you got to come back. Praise the Lord. Now, people need to know, here's the problem. People need to know their identity. And when it remains in question, when people's identity, next slide please, when people's identity remain a question, they're prime for deception. That's the problem of the world. When you know your identity, only one person can give that to you is God. But listen, your identity for all of us in here today that know Jesus Christ, you know Jesus Christ, your identity is in Christ. Your identity is in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Acts 17, verse 28, the Passion Translation says, it is through him that we live and function and have our identity. You see, your true identity can only be found and understood from your Creator. And God, your Creator, invites you into a relationship with him if you don't have one. God's grace invites you and enables you to come to him to receive from him the true tree of life. And for him to come now, listen, and to live in you and change. See, God wants to dwell in you. And he does as a believer to change you and to direct your life into his powerful freedom. But it begins coming to Christ and then by knowing your identity that you're in Christ. You don't have to be depressed. Listen, you're in here today. You don't have to be depressed, confused, or without God. Nor do you have to remain behind the bars of a spiritual and emotional prison, one of which there is no hope, no future, of which you don't belong. But that's what Satan wants. Make no mistake about it. And that will be your fate and destiny without God. But that's not what God wants or has planned for your life. Come on, Brother Ryan, and help me. For God's plan for you is revealed in redemption.
This is a story of how God came in the flesh. And he became a man to pay the price for mankind's sin, which separated us from God's life. This is why Jesus came and died a tragic death on the cross for each of us, to pay the price for our freedom, to give us his life as a ransom to set us free. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe on him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is why we are exhorted in the word. Think about it. On the very day of Pentecost, Peter spoke out this word to those that said, "What must we do?" Here's what he said. He said in Acts 2:40, "To save yourself from this perverse and corrupt generation who have gone astray." Wow. Imagine this. Save yourself. I'm here today to tell you, save yourself. In other words, coming to Jesus is how you do that. Save yourself from this crooked and wicked generation who have gone astray. We can only do that by coming to Jesus Christ. And this is why Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me." And it's by receiving him as your personal Lord and Savior that you are changed from the inside out. That you will actually have Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, come to live on the inside of you, the Godhead. Come to live on the inside of you, making you a new creature. I realize that much of what I'm talking about right here, many of you have done. And that's wonderful. But remember, your identity is in Christ. It ain't a word. But it ain't in what you own. It ain't in what you do. Your identity. What you do and what you own don't make you who you are. Wake up! That will all perish one day. I'm not saying it necessarily wrong. It's only wrong if that's where you get your identity from. For all those that would think that Jesus said, "What does it profit of a man? He gained the whole world yet lose his soul." Well, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? He can't. But there is a divine exchange that was given on the cross of Calvary. The righteous died for the sins of the world. The righteous died for the ungodly, the human race. That whosoever will believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. You know, this is all about everlasting life. Living like Jesus or God created man. You're going to live forever anyway as a spirit being. But the problem is, God wants us to have eternal life, because eternal life allows us to he lives in us, and we actually have the God kind of life, and we spend eternity with him. Because without eternal life, there's eternal destruction. And make no mistake about it, you won't one day just burn up and be annihilated after a certain amount of time. Every spirit is eternal, and they will spend either eternity in heaven or hell. Let nobody lie to you. That's what Jesus said. And he warned us more than any person else in the scripture. Do you know that Jesus warned us personally 46 times about hell, damnation, and eternal destruction and separation from God? That's more than anyone else. He didn't do that because he hated us. He did that because he loved us. Yet he warned us, as I spoke earlier in John 7:7, he says, "The world is going to hate me and hate you because I tell them that. Because I tell them the truth." But God doesn't hate us. He loves us. He loves us enough that he was unwilling to do without us spending eternity with him in heaven. Now, all of this I share today is not all good news. The good news is the end of the story. The end of the story is God is not, as we read the end of the book, and God is not, just like in the days of Noah, God has said, "That stench has come up before me. And I'm going to end it." Once again, man's not going to destroy himself. It's headed that way. Satan is not going to totally destroy man. He's trying to. And it's not going to end in a nuclear destruction. There may be a nuclear bomb sometime, but this whole world isn't going to end that way. Jesus Christ is going to first come back for his church, the true living and vibrant ones, the ones that have made him the Lord of their life and walking with him. That trumpet sounds, we're going to be caught up in the moment of the twinkling of eye. He'll come in the clouds and descend and catch us away. And I'm going to say this. Listen, the world is going to have a lot of conspiracy theories. Oh, the aliens got them. Why do you think there's all this about declassification, about UFOs and alien beings? They're demons. Don't be fooled. And it's all a setup to say that some enlightened creatures have come to this. They're not come to enlighten us. They come to damn us. And they're spiritual beings. Make no mistake about it. They're from another dimension, a spiritual realm, where Satan is the god of it. But we don't have to be deceived by it. We'll be caught up in change, and then there's going to be 7 years of hell on earth. And at the end of that, before man can destroy himself, Satan can destroy all of man, Jesus is going to return to reestablish his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I got God's word on it. And I'm reminding us today in his first coming, listen to me, his first coming, there's approximately 300 prophecies that were fulfilled exactly as the scripture said it would be. And 300, think about this, 300 separate prophecies at least describing Christ's first coming. And they were all fulfilled perfectly. Listen, the chances of that happen is beyond astronomical. It's impossible unless, of course, God did it. And the reason I'm sharing that with you is because for every one prophecy of his first coming, there's 8 times more about his second coming, and every one of them will be fulfilled exactly like he said again. God doesn't want us to be unaware of that. He wants us to know so that we can follow him and serve him with all of our heart. That gives us confidence. That gives us joy. But here's what it should do. It should motivate us to reach a lost and dying world. We see people all around us that's setting back as in the days of Noah, buying, marrying, you know, giving in marriage, all those things. In other words, daily life consuming them, and unaware that man, I never forget the story that Lester Sumrall said that changed his life, the vision that God gave him that changed his life years ago. He saw the precipice of a mountain and the ledge, and humanity was blindly walking off that edge and down to, and had fallen off into the abyss of flames. And he says it so shook him. God spoke to him out of that vision, and you said, go and reach the people. He said, this is, matter of fact, here's what God told him. Those people going to hell are your fault. He said, God, I don't even know those people. How can that be my fault? He says, because I'm calling you to go and reach them. And how much more of the whole church? Let's take a responsibility like I am today and crying aloud and spare not. It ain't a message of doom and gloom. It's a message that if you receive Christ, you'll miss all of that. So why not receive him? Today he's calling you. If you've never received him,